Love. It's precious, rare, and needs refinement. This kind of love brings the world to life. This kind of love is uncommon.
Good morning on this Mother's Day Sunday, and if you're a mom or if you're a special woman that is a mom in someone's life, just pray God's blessing on you. We'll be doing something a little later in the service to honor you and thank you. And for those of you who are here, and this is a hard day for you for whatever reason, we're glad that you're here as well and pray that hope that God has something for you. I still remember the first musical recording I ever owned. I'm going to date myself now. When I was 13 years old, one of my dad's friends gave me an 8-track tape of Bad Company's first album. I thought I was so cool. And then when I was 14 years old, about a year later, I used all my birthday money to buy my first vinyl. And my first album was Elton John's Black Album. I think that was his second album. You're learning a lot about me right now. And that first vinyl record purchase led to many other vinyl purchases through the years as I built a collection. But then came the advent of the cassette tape. And if you remember those days, some of you, I still bought vinyl, but like many people, I copied my favorite vinyl records to cassette so I could listen to them in the car or in that new invention, the Walkman. And let me tell you, putting a mixtape together with cassettes was a lot more difficult than it is today, let me just say. But then came the advent of the compact disc. And I was slow to adapt to CDs. I thought they were going to be just a quick little passing fad. But during my college and grad school days, I had sold most of my vinyl records to pay for textbooks. So when I finally landed a full-time job out of grad school, I started buying back my favorite albums only as CDs that time. And then, of course, came the MP3 player. My first was the Rio, which they don't make anymore. And then I think I got what's now called an iPod Classic. And I was just amazed at how much music you could store on such a small device. And now, years later, I listen to most music using streaming services like Spotify or Pandora. Even our own church has a Spotify channel and playlist. How I listen to music has changed a lot over the last few decades. And some of the ways that I used to listen to music are now obsolete. I mean, I don't even know if I could find an 8-track player anymore. Replaced by newer and often better ways of listening to music. Very few things that we experience in this life are permanent. And wisdom in life is figuring out what's permanent and what's temporary in life. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been in a series called Uncommon Love, where we've been going through the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to learn more about this uncommon love. Uncommon love is God's own kind of love. And uncommon love is different than romantic love. It's distinct from friendship love. It differs from kind of natural, instinctual love that we feel towards our families. Uncommon love is different in kind because it's God's own kind of love. But uncommon love is also different in reach because it stretches beyond the common boundaries of love that we draw for ourselves. As Christians, we'll want to love our spouse or our friends or our moms on Mother's Day and every other day and our dads. But as Christians, we can't stop there. That we're also called to love outside the boundaries of common love, to love with uncommon love. And last week in this series, we saw that uncommon love is creative action. Some actions define what's in bounds for uncommon love. Actions like reflecting patience or demonstrating God's kindness or celebrating the truth. And other actions define what's out of bounds for God's love, for uncommon love. Actions like envying and boasting and pride and rudeness and these kinds of things. And so rather than telling us what to do in any and every circumstance that we might find ourselves in, what the love chapter does is it tells us what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And then God invites us, through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of each other, the guidance of the church, to live out God's uncommon love in creative ways, in whatever circumstance or situation that we might find ourselves in. Well, today we're going to see, as we continue in this series, that in contrast to the 8-track tape, that uncommon love lasts. It will never become obsolete. It will last forever. So I want to invite you, if you're able, would you stand with me as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. This is God's word. This kind of love, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. You can be seated. Thanks. As we continue in this chapter, verse 7 gives us a series of always statements of what uncommon love is always like. And then verse 8 gives us a never statement, what it's never like. And so let's start with the always statements. Uncommon love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Often when we act with love towards another person, we're looking for a particular result or outcome to come from that act of love that we show. If we're dating or if we're married, we expect the other person to love us back when we show them love. If we act with love towards someone at work, maybe giving words of encouragement or maybe offering to help them with a project that they're behind on, we expect that action to improve our relationship with them. When we show love to someone in need, perhaps to a homeless person or to someone struggling financially, and we show love in a tangible way, we expect it to make a difference in their lives. And when these things don't happen, we often feel as if our love has been wasted on that person. But I think Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians, would say, that's the wrong way for us to think about love. Especially uncommon love. Looking for particular outcomes to result from our actions of love only sets us up to be disappointed. Instead, we're invited to view love as something that has value in and of itself, regardless of whether or not it achieves anything or there's a tangible outcome from our actions of love. When we love someone with uncommon love, we are becoming more and more like the God who loves us, regardless of how the person we're showing love responds or doesn't respond. The primary change that happens when we show uncommon love happens within us as we become more and more fully devoted followers of Jesus through the process of loving others. And because of this, these always statements in verse 7, all four of them show us that uncommon love is always looking forward. Uncommon love is always looking to the future. It's looking forward. So let's consider these always statements. Love always protects. The word Paul uses here means to support something. This particular Greek verb the Greeks would use to describe a roof that protects people from rain. When it's raining, they get shelter under the roof. Uncommon love is supporting without being smothering. It's supporting. It protects, like a roof that offers shelter and protection. When we act with uncommon love towards another person, we're offering that person some kind of protection with our love. But protection does not mean smothering. As a parent, I've had to learn that protection is distinct from overprotection. I'm overprotective or smothering when I'm hovering like a helicopter next to my kid to make sure everything goes okay for them. And when I worked with college students at APU, I became well acquainted with the helicopter parent. Or maybe you've heard the lawnmower parent that mows down all obstacles for their kids so they never face any obstacles. That's smothering, not protecting. You know, there's this great passage from the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 6, where Paul tells us as Christians that we are to carry each other's burdens. But just a few verses later in that chapter, Paul says, but each person needs to carry their own burden. That there are some burdens in life that people must carry themselves. And there are other burdens in life that we can help each other carry. And discovering that difference is important in life when we love. Maybe you've heard of the word codependence. We hear a lot about codependence these days. Person acts codependent simply when they love someone in a way that encourages or enables that person's bad decisions. We're codependent when we're trying to carry a burden that someone else should be carrying for themselves. Love protects without smothering, without being overprotective. Uncommon love is also trusting without being gullible. Trusting without being gullible. Love always trusts. Notice Paul doesn't say love always trusts the person that you're loving. If we only show love towards people we trust, the circle of those who we love would be very, very small. Trust has to be built over time. It has to be protected. Trust can be broken. And sometimes we're called to love people we don't trust. Sometimes we're called to love people we don't even know well enough to trust yet. Other times we're called to love with uncommon love people who've broken our trust. And Paul is not saying here that when trust is broken, we should look away from reality and pretend like it never happened. Remember, love rejoices in the truth. It lives in reality. But his point here is that when we love, we are trusting God to do his work. When we love a person. Years ago, I had the opportunity to have lunch with a seasoned pastor named Bruce Larson. Some of you maybe remember Bruce as the pastor of University Presbyterian Church in Seattle back in the 1980s. And when I first met Bruce, I was 30 years old, and he was in his late 60s, near the end of his pastoral career. We met at a conference, and he agreed to have lunch with me and so I could ask him questions about pastoring. And I'll never forget one of the things he said to me is he said, Tim, remember, trust God and love people, but don't get those two things confused or reversed. His point was that people are imperfect and will disappoint us. And of course, he wasn't telling me to never trust anyone. He was encouraging me to ultimately put my trust in God, the one who would never let me down, to trust God and to love people. Trust always, love always trusts God to work. Uncommon love is also hoping without being naive. It's hopeful. But as with trust, the object of hope is in God, not in the person we're showing uncommon love to. I've known many people through the years who struggle with hope when they're trying to love someone who has disappointed them again and again and again. I remember talking to a woman whose marriage was over after years and years of her husband's addictive behavior, and she asked me, "What do I do with hope?" Or the parents of an adult daughter who's been in and out of rehab a half a dozen times, who are trying to believe the best this time when she goes into rehab, but to not set themselves up for another disappointment. Hoping in this context is not being naive and thinking that our act of love will change the person we're loving. I mean, it might, but there's no guarantee that it will. Hope is confidence that our act of love matters, even if it doesn't make a visible difference. And finally, love is enduring without collapsing. It always perseveres. That the word persevere means to bear up under a heavy load. And you know, once we're able to let go of our expectation that our actions of love will produce particular outcomes that we want to happen, once we let that go, that frees us to persevere in our love. Uncommon love is always looking forward. It's future focused. After that series of always statements, in verse 8, Paul shifts to a never statement. Love never fails. And the Greek word translated fail here, it means to collapse. To think of the image of a building that's been neglected for years and years that eventually falls apart and collapses. Love will never become so obsolete that it collapses. Paul contrasts uncommon love that will never fail with spiritual gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Paul's not against these gifts. Paul loves the gift of prophecy, and the Corinthians were particularly enamored with the gifts of tongues and knowledge. Earlier in this chapter, Paul says that if he uses these gifts without love, they amount to nothing. And his point here is slightly different. Paul's point here is that love lasts forever. It never fails, but these gifts are temporary. These spiritual gifts, these good gifts, and others like them, they are good, but they are not forever. These gifts are like 8-track tapes. Good for a time, but ultimately obsolete. Let's consider these gifts a bit. People debate exactly what prophecy refers to. And in our Reformed tradition, many of the people in Reformed tradition consider prophecy the gift of preaching. Others consider prophecy as supernaturally declaring what God is going to do in a given situation. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. The gift of tongues is a miraculous ability to pray or praise God in another language. The knowledge is supernatural knowledge from God. These gifts are good. But Paul wants us to view uncommon love as even better than these good gifts. And his reasoning here is that they're good, but they're temporary. At the end of the age, when perfection comes, when Jesus returns, prophecies will cease. There'll no longer be a need for them. When Christ returns, when completeness comes, there will no longer be a need for tongues or supernatural knowledge. That these gifts, as good as they are temporary. Therefore, their value is relative, not absolute. And in contrast, uncommon love will never pass away. The gifts are good. Love is better. Uncommon love never loses its significance. It never fails. It will never lose its significance. Think of three categories: good, better, and best. For example, a Dodgers win is good. A Dodgers win against the San Francisco Giants is better. A Dodgers win in Game 7 of the World Series is best. Okay, maybe you would put different categories in there. That's okay. These spiritual gifts are good, Love, uncommon love, is better. Therefore, using spiritual gifts with uncommon love is best. Paul doesn't want them to stop using their gifts. He wants them to start using their gifts in a way that embodies God's uncommon love. And we know from the rest of this letter, 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians were big on gifts and short on love. Now, as someone who preaches sermons for a living, who prophesies in a sense, this section was a little convicting to me. I started thinking back. You know, my first calling to preach came when I was 28 years old. In that church, they called it a teaching pastor. And I served in that role, preaching almost every week for 15 years, starting when I was 28 years old. When that church called me as their teaching pastor, they affirmed that God had given me a spiritual gift for preaching, and they just hoped that I would grow into the rest of what it took to be a pastor. And the truth is that I loved to preach. I loved everything about it, from the planning to the study, from the design of the sermon structure to the development of illustrations and applications, from writing it out to delivering it. I've studied preaching. I did my doctor of ministry in it. I've taught seminary courses in it. I've written articles on it. And for 15 years at that church, I did the very thing that I loved, the very thing that I felt like God made me to do. But you know, as I look back now, I can now see that there were times when I loved the gift more than I loved the God who gave the gift. That looking back now, from the perspective of retrospect, I can now see that sometimes I loved to preach more than I loved the people that God had called me to shepherd. I had taken something good, a gift and a calling that God had given me, and sometimes I elevated it to the best instead of a good gift. And I can now see, again, looking back, that there were times that the church suffered because I spent more time in my study than I really needed to because I liked it so much. I can see that there were times when my family suffered because even when I was home, I was thinking about it. And most importantly, there were times when I lost my intimacy with Jesus and my reliance on dependence on the Holy Spirit. My love for something good that came from God, was over time making me less close to Jesus, less loving, less prayerful, less dependent on the Holy Spirit. When I left that church in 2007, for more than a year, I didn't preach any sermons anywhere. And my gift and my calling went into a winter period, a period of dormancy. And to be honest, I felt like I was detoxing from something that I'd become addicted to because my identity had become entangled in the calling to preach that I had. I had to relearn what it meant to walk with Jesus, to rely on the Holy Spirit, without using these gifts that God had given me. And eventually I did start to preach again, but it was only here and there as a guest speaker at a church here and there. When I was at APU, occasionally speaking in chapel or occasionally at the small church I volunteered at, and then later occasionally at Lake Avenue Church. But it wasn't until I came to Glenkirk back in December that I became involved in regular, ongoing, weekly preaching ministry again. And I needed those 12 years away of dormancy to learn more and more about what's better, living with uncommon love towards God, learning to love other people. And I had to lose and put away something good in order to learn something better. And when I was in the process of praying about coming to Glenkirk, God and I had a lot of conversations about this because I said, God, I don't want to be in a role again where at the end of it, I feel like I'm further away from you and less like you than closer to you. And I don't pretend to be perfect at this, but I've learned that although the call to preach is good, that there are things that are better. Uncommon love is better. And I'm trying to do everything I can to live out my calling with uncommon love to live the best. That means less time in the study and more time in prayer. It means less time in preparation and more time with people. It means leaving my office and leaving work in the office so I can be fully present with my family. And most of all, it means staying deeply connected to Jesus and in constant dependence on the Holy Spirit. You know, there are a lot of other things that Paul could have put in the place of these gifts in chapter 13. Think of all the other good things in our lives that are temporary that will become obsolete when Jesus comes again. I mean, our churches and our ministries could fit there. Glenkirk is good. I'm excited to be here. I'm loving getting to know our people and our story. But Glenkirk is not forever. It's here for a time. But when completeness comes at the end of the age, Glenkirk will no longer be needed in Glendora. And we could say the same about organizations and other ministries like Azusa Pacific or World Vision or our denomination, the Eco-Presbyterian Church. All good things, but uncommon love is better. And so what's best is for us to live out our calling in these organizations and in these spaces with uncommon love. Uncommon love never loses its significance. Uncommon love lasts. And it doesn't last in the sentimental Hallmark card sense that you see in a wedding card that you look at and go, yeah, that's never going to happen. And it's not going to last forever in the sense that our acts of uncommon love always produce visible, life-changing outcomes and results. No, uncommon love lasts forever because it has eternal significance in and of itself, even if it doesn't actually seem to do anything. No act of uncommon love is wasted. Lou Smeads, longtime professor at Fuller Seminary, wrote, "Love will never need to be transformed into something better." Every act of uncommon love changes us a little bit. Every act of uncommon love reflects God a little bit more. There's nothing more significant than we could do than to love someone with God's own kind of love. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love that never changes, that is unquenchable, that you've demonstrated through the cross of Christ, that you pour out in us through the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you that each one of us are in the process of becoming more and more loving with your kind of love. Because, Father, we can't give away something that we ourselves don't have. So may we know your love even deeper and more. And may that empower us to broaden and widen our circle of love, to love in new and creative ways, knowing that no matter what the outcome, our acts of love have value, not just now, but forever. For we pray these things in Christ's name.